Welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. These are a series of podcasts of Sunday homilies, reflections, and occasional talks given by the staff of the Catholic Community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Nathan Castle, OP, Pastor and Director of the Catholic Community at Stanford. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. The readings are from Cycle B.
One of the joys of being a campus minister, I've done this for 23 years now, and especially being campus minister at Stanford, is being around so many young people who are looking out at the world and their presence in it with a sense that I could be an agent of change. I could do great things. And then being around to help people fine-tune, hone what their gifts are, or to help them with course changes if there's the dream that they first set out to do doesn't end up being really their reality. But still, there's something about younger people that very often inspires because of that sense of what hasn't happened yet that I could make happen. That doesn't need to belong only to the young. The young in heart can have that same attitude, that same gift. There's no reason that because of the passage of years, any of us has to think that our best work is behind us. Particularly when you keep in mind that you're all eternal. All of us are not only mortal, but immortal. And God looks at us comprehensively and is always ready to help us do the next exciting thing. David, when we first meet him, you remember that story? He's almost an afterthought when there's a choosing. All of his older siblings are there, and they're all picked over. And then there is this one young one out tending the sheep. And he gets plucked from youth and obscurity and given this marvelous possible future. And God does all kind of things through him. We meet him in today's reading, though. And it says, "Now when David the king was settled in his palace," the battles are done, the palace is built, there's peace and security. And David, from his throne, casts about for a next thing that he could do for God. That sounds like a really good idea. Sounds like what I'm talking about. Except that he goes about it and he thinks of a project. I know what I'll do. It's just not right that I have such a grand palace and the house of God is not so fancy as mine. I'll build God a really fancy house. It sounds large-hearted and bold. And his prophet, Nathan, says, "Great idea, boss. That's a fine idea. Why don't you do that?" It's dangerous because sometimes we can have inspirations, ideas that we think that we're going to do. And if they sound praiseworthy, there's probably going to be somebody that'll praise you for having that thought and expressing it. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the thing that the Holy Spirit would really love to have you do. That night, it doesn't say how. It just says, the text says, that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan. And good thing for Nathan and good thing for David that Nathan was receptive to however the Lord came to him. because he said, go and tell my servant David that he's got the wrong idea. I never asked for a big fancy house. In fact, I'm not done with David. I've got bigger things for him, and in fact, for his line. The house of David is going to be a line that goes generation to generation to generation, and of his house there will be no end. As some of you know, I was home in Texas this week. My aunt, Leona, died. She was a Dominican sister for 77 years. She entered right out of high school and went into teaching and either taught or principaled or sometimes was principal and teacher at the same time of Catholic school kids from the age of 20 to 65. Then, at the age of 65, some people in Austin came to her and said, we want to start a Catholic school, but our pastor doesn't want one. Would you help us create a new school? She had never done that before. There was already one there wherever she went. But at 65, she went to a meeting, and these people said, we think you can do it, and we'll help. So she went back, and she and her best friend, Sister Benita, got together, and they dreamt up, what if we could do this? What if we got to do it exactly the way we wanted to do it? We've always had to do what other people told us to do. And now, we're 65. We can do whatever we want. What if we did it the way we think it ought to be done? What they did is, it looks very much like any of you that have been a part of our Catechesis of the Good Shepherd on Sunday mornings. It's a Montessori-based method of catechetics. That's what they decided to do. Rather than the chairs and straight rows and the whole Catholic school thing that they had done for decades, they decided, let's build a modified Montessori school for preschoolers through about fourth grade. And they got people excited about this. When she used to, my grandparents lived next door, and Leona would come and visit her parents, and I would go up to visit, and I'd always be put to work, because while we would sit and visit, there was always some art project to be done, because they were always making the next little thing that was going to be used in all of these modules inside this classroom. Well, that thrived for 15 years until, when Leona was 80, Benita got sick, and the people from the mother house came and said, you have to stop. You have to come back and live at the mother house. Well, she was healthy. She didn't need to be around a bunch of sick people. She was one of the healthiest ones there. So she decided, well, I need another career. So at 80, she decided that she would be the welcome wagon. So she invented this thing. She got this cart and loaded it up with snacks that these old ladies in the nun's home could eat. She would get them all kind of maybe things they couldn't eat. I don't know, sugars and crackers and candies and juice drinks and stuff. You know, I don't know if you've ever had to be in a hospital or in a healthcare setting where you're just laying there until the next meal rolls around and then you get whatever they put in front of you. It was kind of the highlight of the day to have somebody roll in with a whole bunch of sweets and snacks and say, what would you like? What can I get you? And she would make everybody birthday cards and greeting cards. And I was hearing all of this at her funeral. She had reinvented herself yet again. And for some of these people, the most important thing that she did was after she finished teaching, because that was when they got to know her the best, when she visited them and catered to them. In the gospel today, there's this young woman, Mary, and she's young, she's available. The project that's pitched to her by Angel Gabriel will cost her big time. She's going to be pregnant before she's married. Big trouble. She only brings up one little bit of an objection. Well, how's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. Don't worry about that. It's taken care of. And her next line is yes. And it's a usually important yes. God doesn't boss anybody around. God just doesn't enter into anybody's life and say, you're going to do this because I say so. That's not the way the kingdom of God operates at all. Mary's yes is huge. Let it be done to me. I don't know how this is going to happen, but sure. I'm in. Take me along in your project. That yes echoes through history, and it comes down to the feast we're about to celebrate a week from today. So I'm wondering, what's your next project? Is the most important thing that you could be doing happening? And how would you even know? Because David thought that he had this brainstorm that was just brilliant. I think I'll build God this palace. But that wasn't what God wanted. What does God want of you that you're capable of offering, that you're capable of giving? And what kind of word could echo through time and space that could come out of you? What could you do that would have a really lasting impact so that at your service, years from now, someone says, you know, when she did that, when he said that, it made all the difference. Can you, in this week before Christmas, have that kind of sense of larger vision about your place in the world, your life, and who's in it? And I have one small suggestion that I could make. You can roll this one around, again, in your own imagination, your own heart of hearts. What if between now and a week from today, somebody in your circle hears from you that not just that you love them, but what you love about them? Love doesn't always get spoken nearly as explicitly as it ought to be spoken. And sometimes when it's spoken in a kind of generic way, I love you, with no further detail. Isn't it great sometimes when people go into detail? Have you ever had anybody bother to stop and say, I not only love you, but here are the things I love about you? Or can you imagine any of you that have a younger generation in your family, any of you who are parents, or any of you who have nieces or nephews, even little ones, can you imagine writing or saying to those younger than you, when I grow up, I want to be just like you? Can you see attributes in those who are younger than you that you could enumerate and say, you know, I'm older than you, but you have a lot you could teach me. I admire these three things about you. And maybe a Christmas card just has bullet points in it that says, I admire these three things about you and hope as I grow older, I get to be more like you in these three ways. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not the right project for you at all. But somewhere in your heart of hearts, I believe that God will speak to you if you're receptive and say, psst, yeah, it's me. Yes. Yeah, you heard what Father Nathan was saying. I do have something that I would love for us to do together. Here's what it looks like. What do you think? Remember that God is not just an old man in the sky. In fact, what the Christmas story does for us is show us that God wants nothing more than to always start over, that it's in the nature and the heart of God to be born anew, to start a new thing. God is older than all of us, but God isn't so old that God can't become a baby and begin the whole thing all over again. The question is, where do you see yourself in this picture?
Thank you for listening to the Catholic Cardinal Reflections from the Catholic Community at Stanford University. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu. We invite you to visit our offices at the third floor of Old Union at the Center for Interreligious Community, Learning and Experiences, or mail us at the Catholic Community at Stanford, P.O. Box 20301, Stanford, California 94309. Till next time, may God bless you.